It is great to see you this morning. Thank you very, very much for being here today. I'd especially like to say thank you to the mamas who are here. And I know that mamas don't like attention. But if you are a mama, would you honor us by standing up? Is that going to be too bad? Mamas are going to be mad at me? Stand up. Look at the mamas around here, huh? That's awesome. And let me say this, mothers. By the way, no offense to any of y'all, but I'm the most blessed one here today. I get to worship today with the mother of my children, my mother-in-law, and my sweet mama. And so that's a blessing, folks. That is a blessing. And I do not take that for granted. But to all the moms who are here today, we have had a special family donate some gifts. And we want you to take with you today a flower. And you can have that flower and you can keep it in your home. You can plant it in your yard. You can do whatever you would like to it. But at the end of our services today, there'll be some men that will allow you, or help you, I should say, to get one of those flowers, and thank you to that special family who was so willing to do that for them. And today is Mother's Day. It's our Father's Day, our Heavenly Father's Day, but today we also get to honor our mothers. And so happy Mother's Day. We do love our mothers. We do love these sweet ladies who have nurtured us, have taken care of us, have fixed our bobos, have loved us when somebody's broken our heart, have defended us, have disciplined us, and have brought us to worship. What a blessing it is. You know, recently there was a famous mother, Naomi Judd, who tragically took her own life. She and her daughter, Winona, sang a song some time ago talking about love. I know, I'm sure it's probably a thought of a love song between a man and a woman, but I like to think of it too as a mother to a child. Those words read like this: love can build a bridge. I'd gladly walk across the desert with no shoes upon my feet to share with you the last bite of bread I had to eat. I would swim out to save you in your sea of broken dreams. When all your hopes are sinking, let me show you what love means. Love can build a bridge between your heart and mine. Love can build a bridge. Don't you think it's time? Don't you think it's time? You know, when I think of the words to that song, it makes me think of excellent mothers. It makes me think of a mother who I can picture going out to, in a very poor situation, their child starving to death, and they give them the last bread, the last bite of bread they have. Or they're struggling, whether it be physically or emotionally, and as the song says, they swim out to save them in their sea of broken dreams. You know, when a mother and child build that bond together, it starts, doesn't it, at conception. I know there's a lot of talk about that in the news today, but we know where life starts. And that bond certainly starts to grow. And that bond grows most of the time for about 9 months or so. And then that child comes. And that mother's bond and that child usually stays very strong. And it even comes points and times when that mother will try to give advice. And this is nothing that's different in 2022 than it was in the Bible days. In fact, in Proverbs 31, we know that passage as the virtuous woman. You know what that passage is really about? It's about a mother's oracle or burden to her child. This is King Lemuel's mother who is the subject of most of this chapter. But really what she was trying to do was build a bridge of love. She was trying to give her son advice and show him exactly what love means. You know, oftentimes when we preach on Proverbs 31, we skip the first part about it because it's such a beautiful scene of an excellent woman, a woman of moral excellence is what virtuous means. This virtuous woman is such a beautiful scene of many of the women in this room today. But it doesn't start down at verse 10, even though we start a lot of times with that very verse. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. You see, this passage begins really at the very first part of this chapter. The famous section of Proverbs here that we're talking about today actually starts with King Lemuel repeating, as I said, an oracle. Oracle literally means burden that his mother had for him. Moms, can you relate today? Have you ever had any burdens for your children? Not that your children are burdens, but you've had that desire in your heart for them to love the right way, for them to worship the right way, for them to grow up and treat others the right way, choose the right college, choose the right spouse, choose the right job, choose the right whatever. Well, it was no different in Bible days. Here's a mother with a burden for her child who happens to grow up to be a king. You see, what King Lemuel is doing is reciting the advice that his mother gave him when he was much younger. He was repeating the things she felt he needed to know in order to turn out to be a decent person. In fact, it was her burden for him. She cared about the way he lived his life. Wouldn't this world be a lot better if there were more mothers outside these walls that cared about the way their children turned out? It would be a lot better world if families would worship together and pray together and give advice based on God's will together. In fact, the very first part of this great chapter, this virtuous woman, this excellent mother, gives her child, who's the king, these words. In fact, she reminds him to be careful who he dates or marries in verse 3. Don't hang out with questionable women, one version puts it. She reminds him in verses 4 and 5 not to drink alcoholic beverages. It will cloud his judgment. And because he was going to be king, she reminded him in verses 8 and 9 to be sure to stand up for those who couldn't speak and stand up for themselves. As king, he was going to stand between evil and good for the sake of the people. Now, I'm sure along the way she probably told him some other things like stand up straight, brush your teeth, eat your vegetables, clean your room, but those things didn't make his list. You see, they didn't make the cut because the ones that made the cut are the ones that probably mattered the most. Of all those things that we give today or have been given today from our mothers, there are certain things that will impact their lives spiritually. Who they marry, what they put in their body, how they treat others. These were the three things that King Lemuel quoted that his mother had told him. It was after all of this advice from his mother that this king goes on to describe what a noble, morally excellent, or virtuous woman really looks like. And as you can imagine, he's describing his mother. It reminds us today that mothers truly are very special. That also being a mother is truly special. You see, moms like King Lemuel's mother and probably your mother, they give us confidence. They are valuable to have in our lives. Now let me tell you something. I have preached some very rough sermons over the course of my 20 plus years here at Azalea City. You probably have jeopardized your soul along the way by telling me, hey, great job, when probably it wasn't. But at the end of the day, you know who I could always count on to pick me up? Yes, I have my wife. Yes, I have my mother-in-law, but it's my mom. She's always been my number one fan. And for that, I will always be grateful. And I would imagine today that whatever your profession is, that whatever you've done, it's always been your mom who's been the one to pick you up and encourage you. You know why? Because they give us confidence. They build our self-esteem. They're so valuable to have in our lives. Let's talk about another mother this morning. Turn in your Bible to John chapter 2, please. This is the mother of Jesus Christ, also known as Mary. In John chapter 2, Mary is in a bind. She is in a bind because she is in charge of a wedding, as we would know it, reception, where they're going to celebrate the bride and the bridegroom. It was an occasion like this that it would have been a social gathering where they would have had wine to drink. Now, you know, I won't argue all the points of this today of saying that wine doesn't always have to mean alcoholic. It certainly could have been in this case. That's not the subject of this sermon. But that was the reality of it. That was the fact of it, okay, that they ran out of wine. And Mary hits a panic mode button. And can't you appreciate that, moms, though? Can't you appreciate that even the mother of Jesus Christ didn't always have it together? I mean, she was a human being just like all of us, right? And so in that moment, what does she do, though? She turns to the one who always had it together. And in John chapter 2, we begin in verse 1 with these words. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and His disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to Him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with Me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever He says to you, do it." Whatever He says to you, do it. She said, according to Scripture, nothing else to Jesus. But she did probably give Him that deep motherly look, where their eyes locked together, and she knows, because she knows her son, He's going to respond. Mary goes over to the servers and says simply, "Whatever He says to you, do it." The interesting thing for me to note in this verse is these are the last words the Bible records from Mary. Mary's last words. There have been famous last words throughout time, right? Presidents, dignitaries, actors, religious leaders. They've all had moments when they've shared these famous lines and they've gone down in history. I would imagine in there even famous mothers have made great quotes that have been immortalized, if you will, throughout history. But I would suggest to you today, there's not been a greater quote throughout all time that says, whatever Jesus Christ says to do, do it. That would be the greatest lesson and the greatest quote and the greatest last words that anybody could ever leave in advice. Think about it this way. By doing whatever Jesus says today, wouldn't we live much better lives? If everybody in this room, every day of our lives, got up, and I believe we're striving to do that, but we don't leave the cross of Christ at home, we take up that cross daily, and we follow Him, and whatever Jesus says to do today, I'm going to do it, our lives would be much better. Our marriages would be much stronger. Now listen, I love helping people, but I wish I never had to help them. Does that make sense? In counseling, even though our master's degrees are in marriage and family, Justin and I would love for a family or a marriage to never come to us again. Because whatever Jesus says to do as a husband, and whatever Jesus says to do as a wife, we're doing it. Think about that. If we ever have marriage counseling, you know what my first thing is going to point out is, are you doing what Jesus Christ says? Our Christian walk would be more worthy if we would just do what Jesus says. Our churches would be more loving and more full if we would just do what Jesus said. It's interesting here. Remember now, there's a scene that goes down that Mary goes to her son and says, hey, we're out of wine. I need your help. Jesus says there, woman, and He's not meaning that, young people, disrespectfully. He's not addressing His mama like some would today. Woman, that's not the concept there. But He is addressing her, and He's saying, what does this have to do with me? Now, you've got to remember, folks, let's take a venture now down Jesus' life. Jesus knows, doesn't He, that when His public ministry gets out, Jesus is 30 years old. Remember, He's been baptized. His public ministry is about to begin. When He does this miracle, there are 3 years. It will put in motion 3 years from now when He is going to be separated for a moment in time, for the first time in existence, He will be separated from His Father as He takes on the sins of the world. Every scourge hit, every nail driven, every ridicule, every mock, all of it hurt. All of it made Him struggle. But it was being separated from His Father that about killed Him. He knows that in 3 years, He's going to Calvary and He's dying the cruelest death known to man. So when He says to His mother, what does this have to do with me? It's not time for me to do this just yet. But do you notice that she doesn't have any more conversation with Him? You know why? Because Mary knew that her son loved her and that He was going to be there for her. Unfazed by His reaction, Mary turns to the servant and issues the profound statement that we've said now several times. And I will admit that it's amazing to me that even in this moment, with all the ramifications, Jesus can't say no to His mother. Mary knew something about Jesus that the others did not yet know. See, she had been with Jesus for 30 years now. And I suspect she had seen some things. She had observed some things. More importantly, Mary understood exactly who her son was. Listen to verses 6 through 10. Now there were set there six water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now, and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom, and he said to him, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now." In this section of Scripture, I want you to listen to what Jesus tells these servants to do. He told them to take six stone jars of 20 to 30 gallons of water each. These jars really were for the Jewish rites of purification. People would come to events and ritualistically they would wash, signifying a cleansing for God. So the servants at the wedding obeyed three commands from Jesus. Now remember, these commands come because his mother says, "I need your help." But what are the commands that we can learn from Jesus today that he really did because of his mother? Number one, fill the jars. You see, in a moment like today, the best thing that a mother or a child could give to the other, a mother can give her child or a child could give their mother, is to fill their heart with Jesus Christ. The most important thing we should do today is not give a card, is not say, "I love you." All those are special, and I would venture to say important. But the best gift we could give today is to fill our lives with Jesus Christ. Fill the jars, Jesus said. Now again, these jars represented purification. So what needs to be purified today? Our hearts, our minds, our soul, our all. What do we need to do today? Fill the jars. But secondly, Jesus said in this story that we just read about, he said, "Draw water." Draw water from the jars. What was going to make the wine? Well, it was going to come from the water. What is going to make your life today? The Word of God. Just like they were going to draw the strength from the water, or Jesus was going to draw the strength from the water, we need to draw the strength from the Word of God. How many times now, three straight weeks in a row, I have talked about studying the Word of God? The most important book ever written needs to fill our lives, and that's where we need to draw our strength. I use illustrations like this all the time. In these outlets are power. There's power that's running to it, and it's live. That's why we protect the little fingers around here, so that the kids at the school will not put their fingers in it and get electrocuted. There's power in that. So if I want to run a vacuum or run something else, I plug into that power. Today, if you want to run your life the right way, then we need to plug into the power. We need to plug into the power that's found through the Word of God. Fill your lives with Jesus Christ. Draw strength from the Word. And the last thing Jesus said to them was, take the water. Take the water to the master of ceremonies. So what do we need to do with what we have now? We've given our lives to Jesus Christ. We've been immersed in Him through baptism. We've contacted the blood of Jesus. We're drawing strength from the Word of God. The last thing I've got to do is take the message. You see, Jesus did all the work. Oh, they had to fill the jars, draw the water, and take it to Him. But it was Jesus who changed the purification. It was Jesus who changed the recipe. Today, when I give my life to Jesus Christ, whether I'm a mother, whether I'm a son, whether I'm a daughter, whomever I may be, I give my life to Jesus Christ. I draw strength from His Word. The next thing I need to do is take the message. Take the message to those who need to hear it. Tell people what Christ has done for you. Tell people what Jesus has done for you. You see, they didn't challenge. The servants didn't challenge the commands. You know why? Because Jesus said to do it. You know why Jesus said to do it? Because Mary said. They did not question Jesus. They did not question Mary. The confidence, I guess we could say, could be put in Mary. But it's really because she had confidence in Jesus Christ. Whatever Jesus asks us to do, we need to do it. In closing today, I'd like to think there are three more commands that we could draw from the life of Jesus. There are a lot more commands we could. But I believe if we could be here today and Mary would tell us whatever He says do, do it, here are three things I'd like to leave us with. I believe the first thing Jesus would tell us to do today is love. We know that that is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your mind. The second likened to it, love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and prophets. Today, of all days, if somebody said something bad about your mother, that would get you hot under the collar. There are people saying bad things about our Savior. We need to make sure that we are doing what we need to do to stand up. We need to do what we need to make sure we're doing what we need to do to love, to put God first. We don't want people to talk about our moms. We don't want people to talk about our Savior. We must love the way God wants us to love. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That's love. Going back to Proverbs 31, read how the husband sang her praises and understood her value. That's love. But today, let's understand the value of Jesus Christ. Let's understand the value of God the Father. The second point I believe we could get out of this lesson, drawing it from Jesus Christ, is number two, we need to listen. Of all people that could have said, hey, I'm a little busy, probably would have been Jesus. But you know what He did? He took time to listen. When it comes to counseling, one of the most important things for a counselor to do is listen. You see, when it comes to leading people to Jesus Christ, we need to listen. Sometimes we listen to their words. Sometimes we listen to their actions. Mary was calling out for help. Jesus listened. There may be someone calling out for help on your pew today. There may be someone calling out for help by not being on your pew today. We need to listen. We need to take time out of our busy schedules and stop and listen to that soul who needs Jesus Christ. So, Jesus loved, right? He loved His mother. He loved to help. We need to love. He listened to His mother. We need to listen to others. And then thirdly, we need to look out for. Jesus didn't want His mom to be ridiculed. He didn't want His mom to fail. You know, it's the same with us, right? We don't want people we love to fail. We don't want people we love to lose their soul. We don't want people we love to be most miserable. So what do we need to do? We need to look out for them. We need to encourage them. You know, even in His death, Jesus is dying on the cross. You know what He did? Listen to it. John 19, verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus His mother and His mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw His mother and the disciple whom He loved, that'd be John, standing by, He said to His mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then He said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. Jesus loved his mother. Jesus listened to his mother. Jesus looked out for his mother. Jesus loves you. Jesus will listen to you. Jesus will listen out for you. Mothers, I love you. I appreciate you. It comes a point in time, whether we're a mother, we're a father, we're a son, we're a daughter, whomever we may be, now comes a time for opportunity. An opportunity to accept the greatest gift that's ever been given. And that's the free salvation that God has promised us through Jesus Christ. Today, if you haven't become a child of the King, or today, if you need to respond in a public way, I would like you to once again listen to the words of Mary. Whatever Jesus says to do, do it. As together we stand and sing.